This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hulk Hogan was the biggest thing in my life for a long time. And unfortunately, we found out yesterday that at the age of 71, Terry Hulk Hogan passed away of a cardiac arrest. And I mean, I was looking all day. I can't believe I couldn't find it. But I have this great picture of me as a kid holding up a Mr. T action figure wearing the yellow headband, the Hulkster yellow headband as a kid. We all did. We all grew up, you know, drinking our milk, taking our vitamins, watching Hulk Hogan kick ass, whether it was WrestleMania 3, which is one of my earliest memories. For some reason, I don't remember the match per se, but I remember the idea that they were fighting in a big, like, I just remember the idea of Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. And it put wrestling on the map. And I even remember I was a big Rocky guy, Rocky with Thunder Lips. And I was like, who is this enormous man? Like, I just thought, I mean, we all did. Hulk Hogan was and is, like, when I think back on my childhood, I think of, you know, my father getting me excited and about wrestling events and talking up Hulk Hogan. I had all the dolls. I had all those action figures. And now I'm getting my sons into it. And they all know who Hulk Hogan is. They've dressed up like Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, the Superpowers, for Halloweens. It's just, and now I've gotten more back into wrestling. I was with it for a little bit. When I was a kid, I loved Hulk Hogan. And then obviously, as I got older, lost it for a while, picked it back up, the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, Hulk Hogan becoming Hollywood Hogan and NWO, which is still probably, as much as I then for a time loved Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is rivals how much I enjoyed Hulk Hogan, but Hulk Hogan's special because it was childhood. But The Rock, Hulk Hogan, DX, that time, NWO still might be the coolest thing that ever happened in wrestling. Like, everybody had NWO shirts when I was a kid. We all, the idea that Scott Hall and Nash went, and we weren't sure if it was like a real thing. You know, wrestling back then, now it's so open that it's a scripted show, that it is for lack of a better term, a soap opera. Like, we're well aware. And they don't hide behind it. They don't try to fool anyone. They do honest post games after all these events and everything. Like, they, you know, these, the wrestlers come on out of character and answer honest questions and talk about things. Like, there is no more real secrecy in the idea that it's not real. But in that time period, we weren't sure if that was like actual wrestlers going to the other network to cause problems, or the other, you know, the WCW to cause problems. And then the heel turn of Hulk Hogan was mind-blowing, that he was going to be a bad guy after being, you know, Hulk Hogan for forever. But, yeah, he's just one of those guys that immediately, and now there's a connection with my kids to it. It's a little bit like sports. It's a little bit like baseball. I didn't have the same connection with my father, with Hulk Hogan, that I did the Yankees eventually, and the Giants, and sports, and all that, and playing sports. I never actually got into professional wrestling as a kid. I'm kidding. Nobody does. But I'm just saying, like, I played baseball, I played sports, so it's a little bit more of a deep connection as far as fathers and sons and parents and children. But, I mean, Hulk Hogan was... I had all Hulk Hogan theme stuff. I had all the video games that they bought and we played. I was him for Halloween. You know, it was... Hulk Hogan is so much of my childhood and makes me think about my father, which I do often, and makes me think about my kids. So it was very sad to hear Hulk Hogan pass. And plus, my children now are like, you know, I fascinated by death. And where was he? And how did he die? And how old is he? And, oh, you know, grandma's 71. You know, so it's also scary. It's also that, too. It gave me an opportunity to have conversations about death, which is always fun with your 8 and 6-year-old. But... And I heard Ric Flair is sick. And I'm like, I know, guys, don't worry. Ric Flair is going to be okay. I don't know. Like, but it was very sad. It was very sad to hear. There was some speculation about his health over the last month or so. I know, the love sponge was out there talking about he was in bad shape. And Jimmy Hart was out there talking about he was in bad shape. He tried to dispel those rumors. And I don't know if they were true or not. And this was just a random, you know, heart attack or whatever. But... I mean, Hulk was the man. Hulk was absolutely the man. He was huge. I remember watching No Holds Barred with Zeus over and over and over and over again. Like, there was, you know, he was just the best. And he changed what wrestling was. I mean, wrestling was just a bunch of guys, you know, doing... Now, he was never the greatest in-ring performer, but they would just, like, grapple and roll around and stuff. And then he became this, like, superhero character. And he would run out there in his orange and the red and yellow, and just, it was dynamic. And it was, you know, I had the bed sheets, I had the pillows. I don't know if you guys remember the WWE pillows that were like the shape of the actual wrestlers. I had him, I had the Ultimate Warrior. Like, it's just, it takes me back to a time when I had nothing else to do. No responsibilities. I went to school, I played sports, I watched wrestling. And I loved Hulk Hogan. So yesterday was a sad day for a lot of us my age who grew up with the beginnings of WWF, now WWE, and with Hulk Hogan shaping our childhood. So very, very sad. I was watching the documentary today that they just put out not too long ago about WrestleMania 9 just to get my Hulk Hogan fix. Very, very sad. He was an icon. And we just lost Ozzy, that's kind of an icon. Now we've lost Hulk Hogan, who's an icon. Rough couple days, man.
I mean, bro, you know they always come in threes. That's like, at least yeah. That's what my mom always said.
Oh,
Malcolm
no, yeah.
Jamal Warner also passed away.
That's true, yeah, right? And you know what? I mean, I don't want to say he's not iconic. Certainly the show was. I mean, the Cosby Show was.
Part of an iconic show.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I know now everything about Bill Cosby. It's hard to say this statement, but at the time, he was everybody's dad. He was... Like, it felt like that was the original family kind of show, and he was everybody's dad.
And that's you mentioned it with Bill Cosby, and that's kind of what I've seen a little bit with Hogan today as well, because we all know the latter part of his life, not necessarily, you know,
no,
great.
Some terrible comments.
Not great stuff.
Terrible comments, and, you know, the sex video, and that entire lawsuit, and... You know, depending on your political leanings, which I don't know, you know, whatever. Like, I don't care who Trump voted. I don't care who Hulk Hogan voted for. I don't care. But I mean, obviously that became a little bit of a stir, and he got booed the last time he was on stage at WWE, which sucks. But great, you know, just one of those icons of my childhood.
Changed what wrestling is. You nailed that on the head, bro.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I think everybody should take from Hulk Hogan, regardless of how you feel about him,
mm-hmm.
is that he helped change that industry. He helped change a lot of people's lives, even if it was childhood memories, even if it was a relationship with your father. He changed the business so much that now you were able to watch him with your dad from the inception of the WWE, which he was a big part of,
you know,
really becoming the national brand that it is.
Sure.
He was all of it. Now you get it with your kids because of him,
for the
most part.
No doubt. He was so influential. I mean, he was WWF for a long time. He was the guy. And then again, then the heel turn in NWO, he almost had like that second run leading to really the end was the WrestleMania 19 against The Rock, or WrestleMania 18, I forget which one it was. But that final match against The Rock in 2002, but... Yeah, the NWO was the coolest thing. Like, then it came again out in high school. It was, I was the Hulk Hogan guy as a little kid. Then, like, in the, you know, beginnings of high school, the NWO was everywhere. That brought wrestling back into my existence. I kind of lost it for a while, and then I got it back with NWO, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Attitude Era with WWE. Like, but he even started that kind of that run. Like, he starts the very beginning, and then he starts my second run with the heel turn at Bash at the Beach or whatever it was. Like, that was, I mean, Hulk was the man. That's all I can say. I loved watching his movies, even though some of them were terrible. Thunder Lips, The Ultimate Male versus The Ultimate Meatball, just all of it. I was a huge, huge Hulk Hogan guy, and it was a very sad day. 888-808-1019. We get back to sports and the calls. Let's go to David in San Diego. What's up, David?
Oh, Chris, I got to follow the death talk. Jeez,
yeah, I know. Hey, listen, what are you going to do? You move right on. You don't have to acknowledge
it. Yeah. I agree with your Holmes point real quick. I looked up his innings while I was on hold. He's already got 106 for this year and 60 innings last two or three years. So he should actually, you know, ask to go eventually the bullpen because it's going to be too much on his arm to ramp up too many innings. But I want to make a Mets fan's perspective on the Philly-Yankee series coming up.
Okay.
This game yesterday.
I can't.
I know.
I am baffled by some of the responses I got. Baffled.
I think the issue is the word root, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As fans, it's almost impossible to sit down and watch a sporting event and not have a rooting interest and not root for one team or the other. That's the essence of sports,
right?
Okay? So can I sit down and root for Aaron Judge at home run or for Max Fried to have a strikeout? No, I can't. But can I sit down and root for Bryce Harper at home run? No, of course I can't. So the way I'm going to take this is I just can't watch the game. But I will look at – I'll keep track of the score because that's just numbers. There's no emotion. There's no rooting interest. And at the end of that game, I want the Yankees to have that bigger number than the Phillies. I don't care what it is. So I am not one of these delusional Met fans. But I also want to ask you a question. I remember you mentioned you went to Philadelphia and you saw a game.
Yes. I just went last Saturday. Yep.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned something like your kids got you something that was going to encourage you to go to more ballparks or something.
Yeah.
Because I am going to Petco next week. Mm-hmm. I live out here in San Diego. Moved out here 7 years ago. I'm going to see two of them at games. And I have to say, I've been fortunate. I've traveled across the country. I've seen every ballpark.
Wow.
Petco takes a backseat to nobody. And people are like, oh, you're from San Diego. No, I honestly mean this because you can sit out in Petco and you can look out to center field and see the skyline, and then you can look to your left and see the Pacific Ocean. And it's downtown. It's truly magnificent. Yeah. Comerica had a charm to it. Coors Field was amazing also. But I have to say, if you're looking to do baseball parks, of course, you never have to worry about a rain out here either.
Right.
You got to put Petco on your list. It's absolute jewel.
I have, oddly enough, but yeah, so Father's Day, this past Father's Day, they bought me, it's like a map of all the fields. Unfortunately, it still has the Oakland Coliseum and Tropicana Field on it. So we're going to have to figure out how to make that work. But they bought me that. And then you put like little magnet baseballs in it to indicate which field. Last year we went to Baltimore. I, without my kids, my honeymoon, we went out to Hawaii and then came back and spent a little less than a week in California. So me and my wife have been to Dodger Stadium and we went to Petco Park. So I haven't gone. I've been there personally. I didn't go with my kids. It was on my honeymoon, so it was before my children were born. But me and my wife stopped on the way back. We stopped from Hawaii back and spent like 5 days in California, and we went to L.A. We went to the Dodger Stadium and we went to Petco. It is a beautiful park. I totally agree with you.
Back me up. Is that one of the nicest parks in terms of the vistas and the.
No doubt. The views and everything, the same thing with Dodger Stadium, just gorgeous. But I have to admit, like, I just went to PNC Park you told me PNC Park in Pittsburgh. That one always looks beautiful. I would love to go to that one. But I just went to Philly and I've been to Baltimore. I got to tell you, both of them, as far as just the fan experience and the out, that's the one thing that I love Yankee Stadium. I think it gets crapped on way too much. I think it gets loud. I think it's great. I love Yankee Stadium. I hate when even Yankee fans dog it. I think Yankee Stadium is great. But what it is lacking that those two ballparks in particular in Philadelphia and Baltimore have is like outdoor areas to like sit. Now, they don't have the room probably, but outdoor areas to like outside of the ballpark almost. Like, and you go and there's a bar, there's a seated area, like a bunch of picnic chairs and tables. And obviously in Philadelphia, my kids got to hit at the wiffle ball field and be on the big screen at the wiffle ball field. And I know, you know, Citi Field has that too, but with Kitty Field. But like really nice areas to go. Now, again, when I'm at Yankee Stadium, I don't need that because I want to be in the chair watching the Yankee game. But when I go to see the Angels play the Phillies and I just want to experience the ballpark with the kids, there's a lot more options for that than at Yankee Stadium. The Yankee Stadium has a very nice, that my kids like, playground in the upper deck levels. And it's cool and everything, but it's nothing like, you know, what these other ballparks were providing and different areas. So there's different elements to different ballparks. Yankee Stadium is like this grand, you walk out and you look at the field. And to me, I love the place. I love watching games there, but it doesn't have a lot of the other stuff that these other ballparks have been to. But eventually I'll make my way back to California with the kids. Right now, we're going to keep it simple. We're planning a Boston trip and a Pittsburgh trip to go see those two ballparks. But my kids like going to the ballparks. And we went Saturday to go see Philadelphia. And I watched them the first inning, then play sloppy baseball. It's not just the Yankees. Kevin in Yonkers. What's up, Kevin?
All right, McAdoo, and you are following in the Saturday tradition of the great host, Beningo, Mad Dog, and even Warner. Warner Wolf had a show on another station. And when I called Warner, we used to start in with naming all the wrestlers, and the audience would go crazy. And, you know, we used to do all the wrestlers, man. Sure, Warner was a big wrestling guy. Remember when Andre picked him up and he looked like a Keebler elf?
Andre picked up Warner Wolf?
Yeah, he looked like this. The video's on the
internet. Oh, really? Yeah, I got to look at that. No, I can imagine, but I've never seen that video. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Warner looks like a Keebler elf there. But the thing is, it really started with Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik. And back then, Hogan was really a bad guy, And then and Hulkamania just took off and it just went crazy, And people, you didn't miss it. It was entertainment back then. It was very big entertainment, and it was amazing to me to see him pick up Andre, But anyway, getting back to the Yanks. I think you're right. There's a lot of teams qualifying for the playoffs, and we used to say it about hockey: a hot goalie. Well, a hot team in October could basically be going down Broadway. But the thing is, I just want to add a little lightness to it because we don't know who's going to be available by the end of next week. But the thing is, I always looked at the Yankees. If they put Spencer Bahia, Judge, and Bellinger, or even Stanton in the outfield, that's got to be the biggest outfield ever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But Stanton's outfield days are over. The dude can barely move. So no more of those. But I do think they have to play the best outfield. And that's why, like, Dominguez is, to me, a fascinating piece here. I don't know how they view him. Because, it's just experience, I guess. But I hate the way he plays the outfield. It's not even that he's bad. I hate the way he plays it. He plays it afraid. He plays it timid. And it's funny, too, because I was watching, I saw a clip of Joe Madden with MLB Network talking about the Yankee sloppy play. And then obviously the Ken Rosenthal article came out in The Athletic about Aaron Boone and how he's alienating the fan base. And, you know, the sloppy play has continued, and what is he going to do about it? And, you know, people have been running with industry punchline that the Yankees have become, which to me, all he did was reference the idea that the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday put out some tweets and that the Dodgers put out a World Series scouting report, which we all were aware of. Like, again, call me crazy. I know I'm a Yankee shill and a Yankee defender. The Yankees were in the World Series last year, and they are the top wild card right now. I know they threw the ball around. If you're a Yankee fan and you feel like this team is the industry joke, okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I can just tell you as a Yankee fan, I don't think they're a joke. I don't. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed with how they've played recently. And they threw the ball around. They need to be a better defensive team, and they need to play their better defensive players. But they're 10 games over 500, and they're the top wild card. And they were in the World Series last year. I don't view them as a joke. I don't think they're a broken franchise. I don't think they're, you know, in disarray. I don't think they don't know which end is up. Like, I think they're struggling right now, and the roster is a little bit mismatched, and they have an opportunity right now to go fix it. And sure, they could hold people accountable better, and I have a plan, or at least I think there's something Brian Cashman should do specifically to try and fix that. But when talking about the timid nature of this team, because I talked about it yesterday, and I fully am on board with this, as much as I agree that Aaron Boone publicly, you know, defends the players to the nth degree, and the last couple of nights have been borderline ridiculous and flat-out lies. I've been on, that's absolutely the case. Aaron Boone is insulting our intelligence, gaslighting us, any other word you want to use, all of it's true. He is speaking things that aren't accurate in the postgame the last couple of days. That is just a fact. But having said that, I believe the perception of what's happening with the New York Yankees is backwards. I do not think that the New York Yankees are too laid back and they have no fear of repercussion and they don't. These errors are made because they don't care, and why not? The manager doesn't care, so I don't care, and it's no big deal, and he says we're great, so I must be doing things right. If my manager told me I'm great, then how could I be? How could you tell me I'm doing things wrong when the manager tells me I'm great? So I'm just going to keep not caring and not doing things. That's the perception of what Aaron Boone has created here with the New York Yankees, and I disagree. I totally disagree. What Aaron Boone has created is a team that the minute they start playing poorly becomes tight as a drum and tries to do too much and is afraid of making mistakes. They're not out there just going, oh, I don't care about mistakes. Let me go try for this. Oh, I'll throw this. Oh, let me just go run and dive. And if it, you know, whatever, who cares? I'm not worried about mistakes. It's the opposite. And Joe Maddon said something that I noticed too and didn't mention it and didn't really put too much thought into it. But if you watch the ground ball error he made in the first game of the Toronto series, that is a routine ground ball hit the shortstop, and he goes down on one knee. Now, you've seen it at second base because it's an easier throw. You want to get down on one knee. You want to make sure that ball doesn't get behind you or through your legs, and then you pop up and make the easy throw. But how often do you see Francisco Lindor? How often do you see major league shortstops on routine ground balls to short go down on one knee to make sure the ball doesn't get behind him? That is an example of a timid player. That is an example of an afraid player. That is an example of a player who's paranoid and is well aware of his struggles and is well aware of how terrible he's playing and is well aware that the fan base is on him, well aware the disaster that his career has turned into over the last few months, and doesn't want to make a mistake. God forbid this ball goes through my legs, I'll never hear the end of it. That's the problem. I fully believe this. Watching the way Jason Dominguez goes after balls, watching the way that Anthony Volpe attacks the baseball now in a timid nature, I'm telling you right now, and you can feel it. I think we feel it. They feel it. It is not that they think this is okay. They might project that, but it's the opposite inside. They know it's not okay. They know the scrutiny of being the New York Yankees. And Aaron Boone has been unable to create a loose bunch that the things he proclaims he wants from them, he's not getting. The last thing I want is to be timid. The last thing I want is to not be aggressive. The last thing I want, like, okay, maybe Dominguez missing, forgetting how many strikes there are. Other than that, even the base running plays, like, I got to get to third base because we need to score this run because we can't lose this game to the Red Sox. Or Jazz in that, we got to get the double play because I'm not sure, you know, we can get this next out. We got to take advantage of every play we can get, so I'll try and do too much. Max Fried, even Max Fried felt it. Oh, I better get this play at the plate because if we give up a run here on this little cheap ground ball, I don't, you know. Like, that's not, whatever. I'll throw it home, and if I get the out, great. If I don't, I don't. It's the opposite. Aaron Boone, and this is on him, totally agree with it. And Aaron Boone has created an atmosphere of the second things go wrong. Why do you think it's the same trend? Why do you think they play great for the first 2 months and then they go into these swoons? Is he doing something different for the first 2 months? Is he criticizing his players for the first 2 months? Is he out there in post games getting mad at everybody for the first 2 months? Why do you think it? Why is it never, oh, they start poorly and then get hot? Why is it always the other way? Why is it always the other way? Because the team comes out with enthusiasm, expects the season to go well. It starts to go well. The second they start to lose, they shrivel. And that's on him. And he's got to create an atmosphere where the noise doesn't get to them. And I do think that there's a chance that not getting on them is making it worse. That not getting on them and being publicly, you know, out there about how angry you are, how unacceptable it is, and calling out players, it's created a fervor, inside the fan base because they're tired of hearing it. And so the noise gets louder. John Boy asked him this question. He said, do you think your constant defense of Anthony Volpe is actually making the spotlight on him bigger? Bingo. I don't think not criticizing Anthony Volpe is a problem because Anthony Volpe thinks it's okay because the manager won't criticize him. I think not criticizing Anthony Volpe has turned up the heat from the fan base on Anthony Volpe. And now he's tight. That's what I think. And I think the same thing with Jason Dominguez. They've told him, listen, don't, you know, you got to play sound, just make every play, blah, blah. And he's out there being afraid. And he's not letting his athleticism take over. Look at the way he went after that ball in the gap in Toronto. He was tiptoeing there because God forbid I overrun it. Or, man, well, I got to make sure, let me just take my time. He's afraid to just go and get it. The team is too timid. The team is afraid of mistakes. The team is too tight. And that is on the manager. But it's not because they don't care or they're not held accountable. It's the opposite. It's the pressure of being the New York Yankees, the accountability that that naturally brings is weighing on them. And you've got some flawed defensive players. I don't think Jason Dominguez is a very good defensive player. And I think Anthony Volpe, for whatever reason, while being inside his head, his arm is an issue right now. And I don't think Ben Rice is a very good first baseman. He came up as a catcher. So I think you've got some guys mixed in who aren't very good defenders. And a lot of, oh my God, I better not make a mistake. Because it'll be played everywhere. It'll be in every newspaper. And particularly for Anthony Volpe, all my friends will be talking about it. Everybody in New York's talking about it. My family is fighting people at Citi Field. I don't think it's that they're not accountable. I think the problem is the natural accountability that the pinstripes bring is too much for these guys, and it's the manager's job, like it was Joe Torre's job, and that's what he was great at, was keeping these guys out of the idea that things are weighing on them, keeping them out of the idea that the owner is screaming in the media, keeping them loose to go play baseball. It's not that it's too loose with Aaron Boone. It's that it's not loose enough. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1:30. We'll come back, take your calls right after this. When people ask me, oh, you think you're a good singer? Like, what kind of, how good a singer are you? I'm like, I would be an excellent Danny Zuko on a Norwegian cruise ship. That's like, you put me on, you know, Norwegian Cruise Line, matinee, Danny Zuko Grease performance, your aunt Millie and Uncle Ted will just eat me up. She'll be leaving that performance going, that Danny Zuko, he was a little chubby, but he could sing. I'm telling you, that is my wheelhouse of my singing.
You got a little Danny Zuko to you.
I got plenty of Danny Zuko to me. I got plenty of Danny Zuko.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was going to say something. I'll just leave it alone. Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
There he is. What's up?
There he is. What's up, Mike? How are we doing? Good. How are you?
Good, good. Great to hear you. And also, it's always good to hear Zoo when he's on the other side as well.
Yep.
Another great guy. The Forrest Gump. That's another great soundtrack. I don't know if
Forrest Gump has an amazing soundtrack. It's probably one of, I love it because it's nothing but classic rock. It's classic rock songs. Like, you know, it's tremendous.
Yep. Love it. PNC Park, you're going to love. And it's funny, 2 weeks ago, I went down, my son and my youngest daughter, and we just drove down to Camden, 3 hours, 15 minutes from me, spent the day, grabbed dinner after, you know, went to the game, hit dinner in Inner Harbor, came back, all in one day. It was a great, great day.
Yeah.
So, I love it over there.
Yeah, Baltimore was very nice. Yep.
Yeah. As far as, you were talking before, actually 2 points. So, first, you were talking about Cease. I wouldn't touch Cease for the Mets with a 10-foot pole for two reasons. First of all, he's got a whip of 1.30 with a 4.5 ERA.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem is he has 6 quality starts out of 21 starts. The Mets need somebody who's actually going to burn innings.
Well, he does the innings are just – you're probably talking about the idea that he gave up more than 3 runs. But he makes all the starts, and he does – I mean – he's given them some innings. Like that's the one thing you can kind of count on some level. Like he's pitched 113 innings already this year.
Yeah. How many innings?
Major League Baseball in games started, and he did the last 3 years. He's led Major League Baseball in games started.
Yeah. Well, Keller too. Keller's got 21 starts as well, but he's got 15 quality starts.
Right.
So his ERA is like a point lower, and that win loss stinks. But he also got a crap team. So
I don't know, man. No doubt. I'm just saying, that I don't know if it's fair. You're looking at Mitch Keller, right?
Mitch Keller, yeah.
Yeah.
The quality starts. Yeah.
Yeah, the quality starts, because the quality starts is based on the idea of how many runs you gave up too. Like he's pitched like 9 more innings than Dylan Cease throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very similar. You're not wrong. Dylan Cease has not been he's got a better whip than Dylan Cease. He's got a better ERA than Dylan Cease, and he's got years of control. But the thing is that's why he's going to cost more prospects. Dylan Cease is a rental. You're not going to have to give up as much. You want to go trade for Kelly? Now you're talking about one of the three, I would think. You're going to have to give up Sproatong or McLean at the very least. Do you want to do that for a starting pitcher where you could just give up, lesser prospects for a Dylan Cease? I don't think it would take one of those top 3 prospects. I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt or that you're not going to have to give up prospects you like, but I don't think you'd have to give up top-level pitching prospects for him on a rental. Keller, you absolutely will. That's the difference in why I'd rather, why Cease makes sense. But again, Keller has, I believe he has years of control. So I think it's another 3 years. Let me look at Mitch Keller real quick. I thought we said it was this year and then 3 more. They signed a 5-year deal. So he's got 3 more years of control. at 16, 18, 20. So it goes up $2 million every year. So you would pay. The thing about that is if you're trading some of your prospects, at least you're getting a starting pitcher in your rotation for the next 3 years. Now, I don't know if they want to pay him that kind of money. I don't think it's the money necessarily. It's the long-term deal that Stearns wants to stay away from. You got him through his 32 year. You got him 30, 31, 32, the rest of this year to impact this team, and then 30, 31, 32 seasons for 16, 18, 20, so an average of about $18 million a year. Are you willing to trade? If you're willing to trade some of your better prospects, that's fine. You got 3 years of control. That's the kind of deal you would move it. But again, would you rather just trade lesser prospects, see if Dylan Cease works for a year, keep these guys in the farm, the Sprouts of the world, and try and bring them up maybe even later in this season to help the bullpen or whatever, or next year you go into the rotation with it? Because when Stearns doesn't want to spend money on a rotation, you got to find ways of control. So if it's Keller and you want to give, it's going to take top prospects. If you're okay with that because, hey, now I've got a pitcher for 3 years of control, that's fine. I don't know how Stearns views that. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Christopher, what's happening, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
Well, we lost two 80 icons,
yep.
Ozzy and Hulk Hogan. Boy,
yep.
They were two icons.
Absolutely.
Nobody talks about they both died of complications to back surgery. You think that in this day and age, you know, because Hogan was just at an event in January,
mm-hmm.
that they're doing a back surgery, but they did it from the front and they had to move his esophagus. So I would have lived with the pain.
Yeah, I'm
unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
that
definitely, if that had a major impact, because he was in, we saw him in good health not too long ago. Was it 6 months ago or 7 months ago? He was at the, in January, he was ripping his shirt off, you know, for at the Trump rally or whatever.
Yeah, they were booing him at the Trump.
Yeah, so I mean, but I mean, oh no, he was there in Raw too in January. But then even like he at the Republican convention, he was still in good shape. He was ripping his shirt off and everything. He was out there chugging beers and radio in different interviews and everything because he was selling his beer.
But
like Ozzy was in terrible health. Ozzy had Parkinson's and the back surgery made it worse. So it's
he had two back surgeries. That's why.
Yeah,
he had one from an ATV accident in England, and then a fall in Los Angeles. But let's get on Hogan for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
See, Hogan's a double edged sword to me because people only know Hogan as soon as he beat Iron Sheik. Hogan had a whole career. If you look at his matches, four times he fought Andre in 1980.
Right.
He was slamming. You could see matches
where
he's slamming them all over town.
Yeah.
And then they did the WrestleMania where he slammed them for the first time. That's when Andre was done and old. Watch the matches that from AWA. He's got two fights with Nick Bullwinkle for the AWA champion, Harley Race. He fought Bob Backlund four times in the early 80s. Nobody probably doesn't even know that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole.
Well, of course,
part of his
yeah. That's
where
well,
he was a bad guy.
Sure.
And
that's what got him the role as Thunder
before
Lips.
Before he became the Golden Child.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, but that's where he got his role as Thunder Lips when they saw him being a bad guy and the size of him. And yeah, of course, we saw in documentaries and stuff. Yes, it was the idea that they had never wrestled before and nobody had ever body slammed Andre the Giant is all manufactured to sell the event. He was wrestling a bunch of a lot of guys body slammed him, not just Hogan. So I mean, of course, that's professional wrestling. They're building up the event. It's a show. It doesn't have to be real. You're allowed to lie about it. It's not a big deal. But then of course that's what when he became Hulk Hogan and became the champion against the Iron Sheik and then WrestleMania 3 in that moment that started to define wrestling. Before that, I'm not sure we all care that much. I agree with you. We don't know it. We don't care about it. Bobby in Sound Beach. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Hogan, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ironically, I did care before. I'm in my 60s, right, in the early 60s. So before then, it was when I was a kid, it was Bruno Sammartino and Gorilla Monsoon and,
sure.
and that kind of stuff. And Billy, who was it, Chief J. Strongbow. I heard Howie Rose reference Chief J. Strongbow the other day. But, yeah, when Hulk came along, what I wanted to say is you were younger, but we got together for WrestleMania 1. We were probably 23, 24, 25 years old, and we still kind of believed in the we knew it was kind of BS, right? But yeah. Still, we all gathered around and kind of for a couple of years there, for those first 3, 4, 5 Russell, when Andre the Giant was still in there, and you know, and Freddie Blassie and Lou Albano and Bobby the Brain and all, sure. I don't know, all that stuff. It was still really cool. Randy, you know, Elizabeth, hey,
yeah,
you know, it was real for us in our almost mid. We still, it was like Christmas, like Santa Claus, man. Mm-hmm. We still kind of, but then eventually you did grow out of it, and then it's up to you, as you did, to pass it on to your kids. But. Yep. Even us in our 20s, we still kind of all gathered around for that first HBO pay-per-view thing. We were super pumped for the first few WrestleManias.
Yeah, it was great. Of course. Through a lot of them. But yeah, pay-per-view events, building it up, and obviously they really tried to put on a show. They had Liberace there. They had, I think Liberace was at the first one. Muhammad Ali was the referee for one of the matches in the first one. Cyndi Lauper was... a coach for one of the female wrestlers. I can't remember.
Wendy Richter.
Look at you. You know more about it than I do. The WrestleMania 1 was crazy. Then WrestleMania 3, and I was just watching the documentary where they took it up another level with the Caesar's Palace, WrestleMania 9. And you always remember that. That's the one Hulk Hogan had the big black eye. And yeah, I'm telling you, wrestling has changed my life. It's crazy. It's completely changed my life. I grew up with it as a kid. Again, I was looking for it old. I was looking at all the boxes downstairs. I can't believe I couldn't find that picture of me with the Hulkster, Hulkamania, yellow headband. Can't believe I couldn't find it. But I was going to post it today. But yeah, I loved it as a kid. More my Uncle Peter. My dad was, my dad had some fun with it or whatever. But my Uncle Peter was closer to me in age. He's younger. And I just remember wrestling with him a lot on the floor and watching the wrestling and being into it and absolutely loving it, having all the toys, having the pillows, the whole nine, the sheet, the bed sheets, everything. I was very much into it. Then I lost it, picked it back up around NWO and Hulk Hogan starting that again. And then, The Rock and Austin and DX and everything, and had it for a couple of years there. And then I lost it like the entire John Cena era. I didn't watch it all. Like John Cena now is champion and... we'll see what happens at SummerSlam or whatever, but like, and how he ends his career. But I never watched wrestling while it was John Cena was the guy in the company. Never, not for a day. I was totally out of it. Didn't care about it. And then it was a couple years ago now. It was the WrestleMania. It was the Royal Rumble where Cody came back and won the first Royal Rumble. And it was a lousy January day, and there was nothing to do with the kids. It was too cold to go outside, and I was like, oh, it's the Royal Rumble. And every once in a while, I would watch the Royal Rumble or something. I don't know. And I was like, yeah, you want to see if the kids would like the Royal Rumble? I guess. And then it was early in the day. The Royal Rumble was starting that night. And we decided to put on an old Rumble. And I put on the 92 Royal Rumble where Ric Flair wins it. But it's Hulk Hogan. It's Sid Justice. Kind of having that issue right on the rope. And then, Ric Flair was in the match. I think he was the first one to come out or the second one to come out, and he was in the ring for the entire length of the thing. And then right on the ropes, Sid Justice and Hulk Hogan are fighting, and Ric Flair comes in and just throws them over the ropes to win, and they're furious. And that was, my kids were hooked from that Royal Rumble on. Just hooked. And they've waned. They've had moments where they're crazy into it. And Dad, it's Monday Night Raw. And then there are times where it's like, all right, no, let's watch the Yankee game instead. I'll watch Raw tomorrow. Like, so it hasn't been like a complete... just obsessed with it, but still, almost every week we watch it. We're going to try and get to SummerSlam next weekend. But that moment changed my life, because for a while they became absolutely obsessed. And now it's just, we've been to a bunch of events. We watch it all the time. And it started with, they actually liked the old wrestler. It took a while to get into the new stuff. When we first started, they were more into the Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan and... like, we were watching a lot of that. Sid Justice was my son's favorite wrestler at the start, because he just likes Sid Justice. I don't know. But, yeah. And it's a fun thing. Baseball, sports connect, and sports entertainment connects, too. It is definitely a thing that fathers and sons and, family, parents and kids get involved in. Absolutely. And I still, we go to the pool now, and I got to do all the finishing moves to my kids in the water. I got to do the attitude adjustment. I got to do the razor's edge. I got to do the, you know, I got to do choke slam. This is what I do into the pool with the boys. They're obsessed with having finishing moves done to them. So that's my life now. That's what I do. I yell at the Yankees on television. I yell at the Yankees throwing the ball around, and then I watch Raw. And we'll get it. You know, some of the movies, I wanted to talk about some of the movies again. I have a question out there. Is the original Naked Gun a baseball movie? I'm curious, then, we talk about whether or not Bruce Willis and Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Is the Naked Gun a baseball movie because of the end of it? I thought because the Naked Gun's coming out. Happy Gilmore 2 is being released today. I can't wait for that. Couple movies coming out. The Final Four, which I have to admit, I feel like there's a turn. The last two comic book movies here have leaned into, now I haven't seen either of them, but I've seen the trailers and I'm listening and reading reviews. It feels like these last two, Superman and now the Final Four. The Fantastic Four and Superman have leaned into the idea of like the campy, more like original comic book theme. Like even watching the Fantastic Four now, the uniforms are outdated. It looks like it's taking place in like some sort of maybe futuristic 60s or something. I know it's definitely in the past, but it doesn't look like our 60s. It looks a little bit more like a futuristic 60s, but still, like it's going back. Instead of making it like the Avengers where it kept on getting crazier and multi-dimensional, and I don't know if they'll do that here, but like more and more pushing the envelope, and now these last couple of movies have kind of gone backwards and like, oh yeah, let's put the dog back in it, and you know, let's be more like the original comic books, and let's make it an easier, simpler time, and like, so we'll see how it works out. I don't know, the Superman movie didn't make as much money as they would have hoped, but I don't think it bombed necessarily. I think it did okay. There's been some people who loved it, some people who didn't. It was terrible. And we'll see how the Fantastic Four does, but it doesn't look good to me. I'm not that interested in it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I'll be seeing it in about...
It looks... The other Fantastic, with Jessica Alba and everything, those movies were not good.
No, those were horrific.
Yeah, those were not good.
And the one they did with Miles Teller as well?
I didn't even see that one.
Good, don't.
It was bad?
Very.
Yeah. So why do they keep doing adorations of it if none of them are working?
Because all of them suck.
Why stop?
I guess they think maybe it's just the content. Worse, but it keeps getting worse.
Yeah, maybe it's just the Fantastic Four just isn't a good concept for whatever reason.
Doesn't translate.
Just like the Hulk. Have you seen them come out with a standalone Hulk movie?
Well, that's different.
Because all of the Hulk movies stink.
Well, that's true.
I didn't even like, people like the, what's his name one?
Eric Bana?
No, Eric Bana's one was terrible.
Ed Norton.
Some people like the Ed Norton one. I didn't even like that one. The Incredible Hulk movies have been brutally bad.
But you do know why they don't make them, right?
No.
Universal, I believe, owns the rights, so Disney can't make a solo movie. That's why they include him in all of them.
Oh, really?
They have the rights to the character or something, but they can't name a movie after it. Something weird like that.
Wow, okay. I just assumed it was like none of them ever work. It's working as just the side character. Let's make him half the movie in the Thor movie. There was one of the Thor movies where he was pretty much the second main character.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be a Planet Hulk movie, but they couldn't do it because of legal reasons.
There you go. Who knew it was about money? Shocking. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to the calls and back to sports again. Besides the trade deadline, I do think there's a message Brian Cashman could send to the players, and especially off of the article out today from Ken Rosenthal, the fan bases just ire video after video on social media about Aaron Boone, about this team's lack of accountability, about the sloppiness. What can Brian Cashman do? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Continue to take your calls as we get closer to the trade deadline on really what has been now the official beginning of the baseball trade deadline. The Arizona Diamondbacks sell off Naylor, their first baseman, to the Seattle Mariners. in the first opening salvo of what both Yankee fans and Met fans hope is a very active trade deadline. We'll get to that. And, of course, the Jets dealing with an injury. Would it even matter? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Full scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.